Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to the Woman to Woman to Man show. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you and just pray that you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. I pray that you're having a wonderful day. God is good and worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised, and we have to continue to give him praise at all times. Amen. I don't know about you, but my confession is I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah, because God truly is worthy. Hallelujah. Well, I welcome you, Pastor Anthony, and I welcome you to the broadcast on today. Hallelujah. We are excited about what God is doing and what God is going to continue to do in our lives. I want to talk today about the power of forgiveness. We're going to be talking about the power of forgiveness on today's broadcast. After last week's show, after last week's broadcast, on rape. I mean, it was powerful. If you missed it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to last week's broadcast on rape. It was just a healing time of ministry that we were able to spend with each other, and I'm just so glad that the Lord met us here. I thank God for the testimony that went forth, that everybody gave their testimonies. People called in with testimony. Minister Valerie Allen, Brother Mel Brown, so many people called in with testimony. I gave my testimony. So if you missed it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen. Listen, I'm getting set up. I'm going to play a song. I normally play a song before I start talking. I'm going to play this song in the memory of my sister, Janice, who went home to be with the Lord in the year 2007. Janice was one of my best friends, and she went unexpectedly. She went suddenly, and I miss her. So while I finish getting ready, opening up the chat room, and just really doing some finishing touches for today's broadcast, I'm going to play Helen Beller, The Sea of Forgetfulness. Enjoy this song in memory of my sister Janice.
I stand before you guilty and unworthy. How can I be forgiven and holy? And I know I break your heart, but you promised I could start all over. And all the things I've done, you placed them each and every one into the sea of forgetfulness. You placed all of my sins, for I'm the one who keeps reminding you over and over again, into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east from the west, 70 times 7, you've forgiven me, and you keep cleansing me and placing my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Mercy. In spite of all I've done, you still keep loving me, and I only need to ask, and you erase all of my past forever. My debts have all been paid, and they have all been washed away into the sea. Forgetfulness, you placed all of my sins.
If you know that God is great, I want you to do this chant with me. He's great. He's great. Come on, say it.
He's great.
Come on.
He's great. He's great. He's great.
Hey. The Lord gave me this song. In time of trouble, say,
great is your love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Oh.
Woo.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's great. Our God is great. He is awesome. He's a magnificent God. He is an awesome God, and he is truly worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Pastor Rebecca here, and we welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show. I apologize for the delay in between the songs. I was talking, but I had my phone, my microphone muted, so you couldn't hear me. So I apologize for that. I wanted to, again, I'll talk about the song that I played at the beginning of the broadcast. I played that song in memory of my sister Janice, who went home to be with the Lord in 2005. And I was saying she was just a dear friend to me. She was more than a sister. She was a friend. I said 2005, I meant 2007. She went home to be with the Lord in 2007, and she was a dear friend of mine. I truly do miss her. I truly do miss her. She had asked me to get the Helen Bella CD for her. She heard the CD in my car. We were going to church. I was her pastor, and we were going to church, and she kept asking me to get that CD, and I kept telling her I would get it. I gave her a copy, but the copy got scratched up because she played it so much. And then she wanted another copy. And I told her I would get the copy, but I never got around to it. And every time she saw me, she would ask me, did you get the CD? Did you get the CD? And I always told her, no, I didn't get it yet because I was so busy. But lo and behold, before I could actually get the CD, she transitioned and went home to be with the Lord. And I really went through some guilt feelings because I felt like I had not met a need that she had prior to leaving. I even blamed myself. I said to myself, if I would have gotten the CD, maybe Janice would still be here. But how many of you know the devil is a liar? Amen. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And what he was trying to make us do is feel like some feel guilty or condemned, feel condemnation over a thing. But the Lord says in his word that we know that there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I had to let that go. Even as I was listening to music on today and I was listening to Helen Beller, I thought about my sister, and I almost couldn't listen to the music. I almost could not listen to the music because it reminded me of her, and I was feeling those twinges of guilt. But I stayed with it, and I prayed through it, and I said, you know what, I love Helen Beller, and I'm not going to let the devil stop me from listening to her music because he's making me feel guilty. I love my sister, and she loved me, and she had the CD. It was just scratched, and she wanted a copy of the CD, but that's not the point. The point of the matter is there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, and my not getting her that CD did not cause her to pass away. And that's what the devil was trying to make me feel like. If you would have gotten her the CD and she would have been able to listen to it, then she would not have left this earth so suddenly. And I have to rebuke the devil. And the Lord delivered me today from guilt over something that happened over 5 years ago, about 5.5 years ago. June will be 6 years that my sister Janice went home to be with the Lord. And the devil came up and tried to make me carry guilt and shame over something that really I had no control over, you know, that really I have no reason to be guilty about. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, I should be rejoicing because when Janice came to my church and I became her pastor, she really came into a revelation of the power of God's love and the power of God's forgiveness, and she was set free. So later on, I'm going to play another Helen Bella song that I love so much, so get ready. And I see you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, in the chat room. She said that she loves Helen Beller. She is one of her favorite singers. And if you ever get the opportunity to listen to that CD where she gives her testimony about being hooked on drugs and about wanting to commit suicide and about almost dying, but the Lord came in at the last minute, at the very minute that she needed him to come, and he saved her and snatched her from the hands of death, amen. And she's been singing her testimony ever since, and I just thank God for that gift, for that ministry gift. So God bless you all on the phone lines. God bless you, Sister Maria. God bless you, Ray and Kathy. God bless you, Minister Valerie Allen. God bless you to our guests in the chat room, and also to Green Beasley. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. So, you know, to God be the glory for those who have joined us on today. Green Beasley, I see your question in the chat room, but what did you do to give your sister misgivings? Okay, I'm assuming you're asking me what I did wrong to my sister. That's what I was just saying, you know, that she was able, my sister was able to be set free, actually, because of the CD that I gave her, the first CD that I gave her that she played over and over again until it was no good, from Helen Beller. So to God be the glory. And, you know, in memory of Janice, whom I love very much, I love that girl, I tell you, in the memory of Janice. I want to talk today about the power of forgiveness. We're going to be talking today about the power of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? You know, forgiveness is totally, and I don't have a dictionary in front of me. I'm just going to go from what I have as my definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is totally forgiving somebody, totally releasing someone from the debt that you feel like they owe you something because of a wrong that they have committed against you. So forgiveness is totally releasing someone from an obligation to pay a debt that you feel like they owe you something as a result of something wrong that they have done or said to you. So it's a total release. It's a total pardon of the sins or the trespasses of someone against you. So that's my definition of forgiveness. And Jesus in the Bible talked a lot about forgiveness. You know, he talked about the fact that if we don't forgive our brothers, if we don't forgive others, then our Father in heaven will not forgive us. If we don't forgive others their trespasses against us, then our Father in heaven will not forgive our trespasses. He also talked about in the Bible, when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he told the disciples to pray this prayer: forgive us of our trespasses and help us to forgive those who trespass against us. And one writer of the Gospels wrote, help us, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And even the apostles talked about forgiveness, where they say that for unforgiveness, if we don't forgive, then our prayers will be hindered. So unforgiveness actually hinders your prayers. So it's just so important that no matter what you're carrying on today, somebody may have hurt you a long time ago. You all know my testimony of being hurt as a little girl, being hurt as a teenager. And if I were to be totally, totally transparent, I would tell you that I'm hurt on a regular basis, that I can get to the point where I'm forgiving. I have gotten to a point where I am forgiving people on a constant basis. Forgiveness should be one of the constants in your life. It should be something that you're constantly doing, that you're doing all of the time, that you're always forgiving those who have hurt you, that you're releasing people, and more importantly than that, that you're releasing yourself. Forgiveness. So whether you've been hurt a long time ago, whether you were hurt last week, whether you were hurt last night, or even if you were hurt today, it is important for you to let it go. Let it go. Do not hold anger, bitterness, and grudges in your heart. Do not allow anybody to take your joy like that. And that's what unforgiveness does. It takes your joy. We have the power over our circumstances. My God, my God, my God. And I know Pastor Andy would give a hearty amen to that. Amen. He's going to be joining us later on. Pastor Andy had to work today. He's a bivocational pastor. He has a J-O-B for in the marketplace. And he works for FedEx. And he also works for our Lord, first and foremost. Amen. He works for God. He works for the kingdom. But Pastor Emily will give a hearty amen to that. Listen, we have power over our circumstances. Let me make it personal for you. You have power over your circumstances. You know, sometimes people will say, stand up under that. Stand up under the circumstances. No. Stand over the circumstances. As a matter of fact, take a seat. Have a seat. God told us that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So you do not have to allow your circumstances to have power in your life, to take your joy, to make you feel sad, to make you feel discouraged, to make you feel disillusioned, to make you feel like giving up. The devil is a liar. Don't you dare allow anybody to take your joy. Don't let nothing steal your joy. That's the devil. That is nothing but the devil. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you have to make up your mind today that you are not going to let the devil steal your joy. You're not going to let the devil take your peace. Thank you, Angela Cynthia Robinson in the chat room. She says, let it go. You will stop up your peace and your joy by holding on to bitterness, anger, and resentment, holding on to grudges in your heart. And I'm going to help you. We're going to help you, me and some of my callers today. We're going to help you to let it go, to let that mess go. Some of us hold stuff for so long. You know what? And God just gave me a revelation. Thank you, Jesus. I just talked about my sister Janice and the fact that I had been holding this guilt in my heart for almost 5.5 years. Janice has been gone 5.5 years. But let me tell you how freaky the devil is. I did not realize until I started listening to Helen Beller that there was a stronghold in my life. Because as I was listening to Helen Bella, I wanted to automatically turn her off because I didn't like the way I was feeling when I was listening. I don't know if it was because I was getting ready to be sad about my sister or if I felt like if I was feeling guilty. I think it was a combination of both. But I've been delivered. I'm telling you, I have been delivered. And the devil is so sneaky and conniving that he will let you keep. He will create something in your heart, and you will end up carrying that thing around for a while before you realize that you already been set free. So I thank God that he brought me to that song today, Helen Bella's music today, so that I could see that there was something there, and that's why we're here today, to basically see if there's anything there, and if there's anything there, we want to help you release it. Amen? We want to help you release it. You do not have to carry unforgiveness. You do not have to carry anger. You do not have to carry the burdens of the pain of your past any longer. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to take a look at your heart. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. You know, examine your heart today. Am I carrying anything from the past? Am I carrying any guilt, shame, bitterness, anger? And you might say, well, what does guilt have to do with unforgiveness? Well, I'm glad you asked. I talked about my sister Janice and the song and Helen Beller not being able to listen. And the revelation that the Lord gave me is that I was carrying guilt. And the reason I was carrying it is because I had not released forgiveness to myself. Woo, Jesus. Oh, my God. I had not released forgiveness to myself. I was holding myself in bondage, holding myself hostage, because I did not forgive myself for not getting the CD for my sister Janice. Oh my God. That is powerful. I had to release myself. So forgiveness also carries over to you. You can be mad at yourself. You can be mad at yourself and need to forgive yourself. You could be mad at yourself for allowing yourself to be in a certain situation. You could be mad at yourself because you didn't pay a certain bill and now you're paying the consequences of that. You could be mad at yourself because you behaved in a certain way or you had a certain lifestyle. You could be mad at yourself because you got involved with the wrong guy or because you got involved with the wrong girl. You know, you could be mad at yourself because you let people hurt you, because you allow certain things to happen in your life. And that's another lie from the devil. I'm here to stomp on the devil's head today. I don't like the devil. I hate the devil. And I'm here to stomp on his head. Listen, let me talk about that last one. Mad at yourself because you let people hurt you. My God. You and I have to stop taking accountability for what people do to us. You have to stop taking the blame for people's bad behavior towards you. My God. Let me say that again. You have to stop taking the blame for people's bad behavior towards you. See, one of the things that will create bitter and unforgiveness in your heart is misplaced anger. See, you will get angry at yourself or angry at some people who are close to you because of something that somebody who's not even in that equation did to you. In other words, I spent most of my life from 10 until 33 mad at the world, angry. I took out that anger on every man that I got involved with. Every man that I got into a relationship with had to suffer because my father abandoned me. Every man that I got into a relationship with had to suffer because I had been molested. Every man that I got into a relationship with had to suffer because that 19-year-old man child, tried to have his friends pull a sex train on me. I was angry. I never forgave people because of what they did to me, and I carried that anger for years. For years, I carried the anger. And not only was I mad at men in my life, but I was mad at my mother. I was mad at my mother because I felt like she should have protected me from the stuff that happened in my life. I was mad at her. I carried resentment against her. Could not have a good relationship with my mother for many years. for many years. I mean, I loved my mother. I loved her. But I could not be in the same room with her for a long time without feeling very awkward because I was faking. I was pretending that everything was okay, but everything wasn't okay because in my heart I had this anger and resentment against her because, you know, my daddy wasn't there, because I was molested, because I was almost gang raped. You know, I had this anger against my mother, you know, because, you know, your mother, you know, they sang the song, "Always love my mama." You know, your mother. You know, you think your mother is supposed to be that person who shields you from the world. And again, that's misplaced because only God can protect you like that. Only God can protect us to the point where nothing can harm us. Amen. Only God can protect us like that. Amen. My mother could not protect me. She wasn't there. My mother wasn't the one who did it to me. Ah, misplaced anger. And we have to identify the fact that we're angry at the wrong people. And, you know, it's funny how we're angry at the wrong people and we love the people that hurt us. We're angry at the people that did not hurt us, but we love the people that hurt us, that did hurt us. You know, that's twisted. That is twisted. How we get angry at people who are only there for us, supporting us, trying to build us up and love us, but we are loving the people that hurt us, that stepped on us, that kicked us to the curb, that mistreated us, that used and abused us, but we continue to go towards them with love, and then when people come into our lives to love us for real, we don't know how to receive that love. And we reject them, and sometimes we even misuse them. Sometimes we even mistreat the very people that were sent to heal us or help us with their love. And we got it twisted. Somebody say, "I got it twisted." We have it twisted. We have it all mixed up. And we need to fix this thing. Amen. We need to fix this thing today. We're talking about the power of forgiveness on today. We're talking about letting go of some old baggage, emotional, spiritual baggage. You know, I got into a lot of wrong relationships because of this emotional and spiritual baggage, because of misplaced anger. Just because, you know, I would go for the finest guy. And it's not because I wanted to treat him good, but it's because I wanted to treat him bad. Can you understand what I'm saying? I wanted to make him suffer. I wanted to knock him down a few notches. Amen. I was sick and twisted. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell you that unforgiveness will mess you up. It will put you in a relationship. You know what unforgiveness also will do, especially if you're not forgiving yourself? For years, I blamed myself for the molestation. I blamed myself for daddy leaving. I blamed myself for almost being gang raped. I blamed myself for all of the stuff that happened to me when I should have been blaming the people that did that thing to me, that did those things to me. I should have blamed my father. I should have blamed my molester. I should have blamed that boyfriend, that man-child. Amen. I should have blamed my first husband for having all those secrets in the closet. Oh, Lord. Some of you don't even know about that. You know, my first husband had all of these secrets in the closet, literally in the closet. All of these secrets. I mean, I was cleaning out the closet one day and I found some stuff in the closet that knocked me off of my feet. I was shocked. Not only was I shocked, but I was crushed. I was crushed. And I realized then that I would never be enough woman for my husband, for that man. I would never be able to be a wife to him because I was not what he needed. I was not what he desired, and I blamed myself. I blamed myself for his problems. I blamed myself for his issues. And we have to stop it. You are not to carry the blame for the imperfections, for the issues, for the bad behavior, the misbehavior of every person that comes into your life with imperfections, issues, and bad behavior. Come on. Come on. Stop carrying stuff. I have to release myself. I have to release myself, and you continually have to release yourself because the devil's going to keep coming. Amen. He's going to keep coming. Hi, honey. Your mic is open, Pastor Anthony. I see you there. Welcome to the broadcast today. I've been talking about the power of forgiveness on today, just pretty much laying the foundation, giving some additional testimony, talking about what forgiveness is, why it's so important to forgive, how, and we want to talk about how we forgive, how to forgive, and just really dealing with some of the issues associated with unforgiveness, like misplaced anger. And looking for love in all the wrong places, amen. You know, holding yourself hostage, holding yourself as a hostage of your own guilt. So we've been talking about some of these things. I don't know if you're able to come on now, if you're traveling, or but your mic is open.
Amen. From what I heard, I've been listening for quite a few minutes, and that's so powerful. You can pinpoint so much. To why people stay in bad relationships, why people want to be abused, why people almost embrace the dysfunction. Jesus said in Isaiah 61, he came to bind up the brokenhearted, set those in prison free. He came to give us beauty for ashes. So I always think of the word exchange. And Pastor, it's so powerful when I sat in church with my messed up self, just wanting something different. And I heard the preacher saying, you know, you don't have to live that way. You are what you think. Change the way you think. Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the fullest. There's nothing like the gospel preached into somebody's lives to watch this, to even give them the opportunity to change. Now with that opportunity, Pastor, we got to do our part. I read from Matthew 13, how 30% of the people get that hundredfold. You know, because that word comes in, and the fowls of the air come and snatch it. The thorns of this world. You know, the things that we worry about, our jobs, our relationships, our health. You know, some fall on stony ground because some people are not rooted in the things of God. And this is these are the reasons why most people, I can almost say most people with confidence now, because what I've seen as a pastor and what I've seen being in so many relationships myself, is that people are just used to mess.
Wow.
And I'm so glad that we're breaking it down today to the area of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Because that was a stronghold in my life.
Yeah, that's good. People are used to mess. And I can attest to that because you get used to the drama. You get used to the dysfunction, especially if you come up in a dysfunctional family and you don't know what real love really is. You know, that's why without God, we can never know what real love is. Without Jesus, without realizing it, the power of the love of God, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him would not perish but would have eternal life. Without a realization of what that scripture really means, we can never really be, we can never know how to love, because God is love. And when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, and we receive that love, then I believe we begin to get a realization of what love is, what love really is, that real love is not somebody hitting you and beating you and hitting you upside your head. Real love is not someone keeping secrets with you that will be probably detrimental to your health. Real love is not abusive. Real love is not jealous. Real love, you know, and it's amazing that you talk about that, because even as shepherds, even as pastors, we're supposed to display love to the people of God. But the problem that we encounter is that a lot of people have been conditioned, even in church, to be abused.
Man, say that word. Say that. No, don't. Just back up and say that word again. Conditioned.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Been conditioned, even in the church, to be abused. You know the way we talk, you know, to the listeners out there, you hear the way Pastor Anthony and I talk. We're always so nice. And I pray that we are nice, that we come across as nice, you know, because the Bible tells us to strive to live at peace with all people. You know, we should, and not only that, but Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, peace, kindness, gentleness, faith, self-control, you know, that we have as the fruit of the Spirit. We should be nice people. But there is a lie being perpetrated in the church, a lie that you really don't have power as a pastor unless you're talking down to the people, unless you are calling the people names or calling them stupid or saying crazy stuff. I mean, I've heard pastors call people deadbeats and all kinds of crazy stuff, telling people to shut up, telling people that they're never going to be anything, that you're never going to be nothing. You're just like your no good mama. And I've heard this from the pulpit, and I would never sit under this type of ministry. But it's taking place in so many churches that people, it's no wonder people are being turned off from church. But when you get real pastors, real people of God who are doing the real mandate, which is empowering the people of God, the people have a hard time, some people, because not all people, but some people have a hard time receiving legitimate gifts, ministry gifts, the set gift being pastor, prophet, apostle, evangelist, and teacher. Some people have a problem receiving legitimate gifts because they're used to being abused. So if you're nice to them, and you're a pastor, you're an authority figure. That's it. Because a lot of the times the abuse comes from authority figures, your father, your mother, that uncle, that teacher, that husband who is the head. Sometimes the abuse does come from authority figures. So now here you have an authority figure in the form of a pastor being nice and not abusive. And a lot of people have a problem receiving that pastor, and they leave that church and go somewhere where they're going to be abused some more. And that's dysfunction. And it comes from, a lot of the time, it comes from your childhood. It comes from your childhood. Or you could be in a relationship with somebody. Our old pastor used to say a lot of people wouldn't know real love if it came and slapped them in the face. If it came and slapped you in the face, it's not real love. So that's an oxymoron. But he would make a joke about it. And a lot of us, a lot of people, myself included, before I got a revelation of what real love was, real love is, do not know what real love is and would not recognize it because of the dysfunction of believing that if you love me, you'll hit me. If you love me, you'll cheat on me. If you love me, you'll lie to me. That's what I've been shown that real love is. And I'm here to break the devil's back. That is not love. That is not real love. That is not any kind of form of love. That is twisted love. That is dysfunctional. That is not love. That is not love. That person may love, but they don't even love themselves. So that's not love. So Pastor Emily, I went off on a tangent, of course. But this,
no, but
this
I love what you said, but I think of a better word than the word nice. You know, we're nice pastors. We're stern, not just with our natural children when we have to be, because for the most part, there's laughter in our home, there's respect in our home, but there's a godly household that we try to put before our natural children. But they understand there's a whole other side to their parents. And I would like to use the word respect. A lot of people, Pastor, realize that people don't respect themselves. So why should I respect you when sometimes you don't even respect yourself? And sometimes it come across even as more of what I can relate to. And it is definitely spiritual.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, you know, looking at my biological family, pharmacia and the spirits of alcohol, you know, nearly half destroyed, you know, half of my siblings. It was 8 of us. And that spirit of pharmacy and alcohol started to get on me. And as you said, under the influence.
Wait, Pastor Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah, the spirit of pharmacy, and for those listening, that's witchcraft through drugs. The spirit of drugs, you know, when drugs come in, illegal drugs come in, it opens the door for a certain spirit to come in and overwhelm you. That's why people have such a hard time being delivered from drug addiction. Go ahead, Pastor Anthony.
No, you're right. I'm talking about the cocaine, marijuana. You know, I never did crack, but, you know, cocaine and marijuana I did indulge, and the friends I came up with introduced me at an early age. Things like marijuana and drinking. But as I ventured down that road, I did some things when I was outside of Christ that I was not so proud of. And that's what the devil does, Pastor, is that so many people are walking around with a certain degree of condemnation, shame, and guilt, and embarrassment, that sometimes they can't see themselves free. They can't see themselves in a healthy relationship, in a healthy church, doing something totally outside of a felt life, but doing something totally being successful at it, doing something of achievement and something that they can proudly say, this is a wonderful accomplishment in my life. So that's why the Bible and that's why the Spirit always says, if you believe, we get back to the word believe and faith. Because if you don't believe you can have a good relationship, if you don't believe, you know, you can own a home and lead a successful life, if you don't think that the blessings of the Lord are rich and add no sorrow for you, then you're going to remain stuck. Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. But as you said, if you don't forgive yourself, and that's why I got back to that piece, I had to forgive myself. Before I could want a house, before I could want a wife, before I could want a better life, there were some things I had to go to God for and say, Lord, you saw that darkness that I participated in, and only you can forgive me, and then I got to forgive myself.
Yeah.
And I feel the Holy Ghost. And you know he did it, Pastor. He released that thing. That's why I stayed in church the first year I got saved. I went to the church by myself. Every retreat, every men's conference, every Bible study, because I was deep in sin. And that's what God is saying to somebody today. You can't get free because you continue to do the same things over and over and wanting the same results.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And the reason that you keep doing the same things over and over again is because you need to be set free from unforgiveness, from guilt. And, Pastor, you said a key word right there, shame. Wow. I had not even begun to talk about the shame, you know, the shame that will make you hold your head down in humiliation. And shame comes on you as a result of, again, things that you have done and also things that have been done to you. Shame is one of the devil's tactics. He uses this shame to try to make you feel like you are not worthy of good love, of real love, or the love of a good man, or the love of a good woman. Shame will make you feel like you don't deserve to be happy. After all, you're just like Mephibosheth said, when David wanted to bless somebody from the household of Saul, he sent the household of Jonathan, he sent to find someone who was of Jonathan's family, and they came back with Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth was crippled, y'all. He was crippled because he had been dropped. My God. He had been dropped as a child, as a young child. A nurse was carrying him, and she was running away, trying to save his life, literally, when she dropped him. And she dropped him, he became crippled in both feet and had been crippled for a while. And he lived in Lodabar, which is a valley, a low, 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 low place. And some of us have been living in our own personal Lodabars, our low places, not externally, but internally. We are living in Lodabar. And David said, and said, bring Mephibosheth to me. They brought Mephibosheth to David, who was king at that time. And Mephibosheth said, what do you want with a dead dog like me? Shame. He felt like he was worse than a dead dog. I mean, think about it. Think about a dead dog. A dead dog. A dead dog. It begins to rot and it stinks and it has maggots and decay and the flies buzzing around and it's dirty and it's just disgusting. And that's how Mephibosheth described himself, as a dead dog. Life is not even worth living. As a matter of fact, it's nothing. I'm not even alive. I'm just the walking dead. I'm not even a walking dead because I'm crippled. My God. So he said, I'm a dead dog. And David said to him, you know what, I'm paraphrasing. You know, he said, you might consider yourself to be a dead dog, but you are going to sit at the table of the king. You are going to eat at the table of the king all of the rest of the days of your life. In other words, David validated him and said, you know what? You might not think you're nothing, but I think you're something. And I'm going to bestow upon you what I think you're worth, that you're going to sit at my table, the table of the king, and be fed on the best things of life the rest of your life. You're going to be treated like a king, huh? For the rest of your life. Amen. And that's what God offers us through Jesus. When we think we're nothing, when we think we're dead dogs, when we think we're worthless, when we think we're filthy, God sent Jesus to say, you know what? I'm inviting you to sit at my table. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take your filthiness and take it upon myself and carry it. And die for you and put your sins, as I played that song earlier, into the sea of forgetfulness, amen, and you don't have to carry it no more because I took it. And that's what you need to know on today as far as the shame of what happened to you. You don't have to carry it anymore because Jesus already took it to the cross. I don't care what
Jesus.
They said about you. They might have called you a whore. They might have called you hoochie mama. They might have called you no good. They might have told you you'll never be anything, that you'll never amount to anything. They might have told you that you're just like your no good mama, your no good daddy. And I'm not talking about your mama, your daddy, but that's what they might have said about you. They might have said to you that you were worthless, that you might as well give up now because there's no hope for you. You'll never get yourself together. And Jesus came to refute that lie. He came to say, you know what? I'm wiping away the shame. I'm giving you a devil for your trouble. I'm giving you beauty for ashes, my God. I'm giving you laughter for mourning because I'm taking away the shame. And guess what? I'm taking your sins. And I'm putting your sins into the sea of forgetfulness to
come
be
on, come
with
on.
No more. And if that's the case, and it is, if that's the case, and it is, why do you hold on to the stuff that you did so long ago, and why do you hold on to the shame of that stuff and allow it to prevent you from having the life and the life more abundantly that Jesus Christ came and lived and died for you to have? Why do we do that? Why do you do it? Why?
Come on, you're so on point, and you know, it's amazing when Jesus had compassion. He said he saw the multitude, and he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says he had compassion. And it's amazing that, you know, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. And watch this. Jonathan was the son of Mephibosheth. Saul was... Yeah, Jonathan was the father of Mephibosheth.
Yes.
Saul was the father of Jonathan.
Yes.
So Mephibosheth, Pastor, initially was ordained to be king. Oh, I hope somebody hear God today. From your mother's womb, God called you to be successful. God called you to be more than a conqueror. God already ordained for you to walk in victory in every area of life. But the devil came in, and the devil deceived somebody and had influence over your destiny. Now God, who is a restorer, is saying, come unto me, all of you who burden, heavy laden, I'll give you rest and I'll put you back on the right path. Glory be to God. That's why during this 21-day consecration, this month of January, God is challenging somebody, Pastor, in the spirit realm to get their act together, to get back with the plan of God. He's not going to harm them, but he's going to give them a hope in the future. And somebody's about to say, God, I'm going to get serious about you again. I'm going to really put the past behind me, and I'm going to move forward by faith. Glory be to God. I heard somebody call in because somebody needs to hear this today. It starts with forgiveness, because I think Mephibosheth really felt bad knowing that he should have been king, and now he's paralyzed, and God restored every ounce of his kingdom, or at least let him sit at the king's table. And God wants to restore somebody.
Maybe, you know, well, he should have been king, but his kingdom was stripped away from Saul. Oh, this is so powerful what you're saying. You hit on something and given to David. But by the same token, Mephibosheth was still royalty. He was royalty. He came from royalty, right? And he should have inherited his father's throne. Hallelujah.
That's right.
But by
That's
circumstance,
right.
because of his father's error, my God, because of his father's error and because of something else, other things that happened to him, he did not inherit the throne, but that still did not strip him of the fact that he was royalty. My God. And when David came to him, David said, now, my brother, it's time for you to take your rightful place at the king's table, because you are royalty. I don't care what your daddy did. I don't care what the person who dropped you did, but you're royalty. So it doesn't matter what happened to you. God had already ordained him, like you said, to be next in line to be king. He was already royalty, my God. But the circumstances that happened stripped him of that position as king, but it did not strip him of the fact that he still was royalty. My God,
my
that's what the Bible
God.
Tells us, that we're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, my God. And it's time for us to take our rightful position. Somebody got to hear me on today. You've been down there with the dogs. You've been eating your own vomit. You've been wallowing around in the filth, in the muck, in the mire with the pigs, because the devil has got you caught up in the spirit of shame and guilt. and offense and bitterness and wrath through unforgiveness. And God is saying that we're coming all the way down to lower the bar to get you up out of there so that you can take your rightful place. Lower the bar, living beneath your means. Lower the bar, not accomplishing things that you know you have it in you to accomplish. Lower the bar, not fulfilling your purpose on this earth. I'm talking about lower the bar, that low place where you say, you know what, I might as well not even try because my daddy was nothing but a drunk or a drug addict. So I might as well just go ahead and make daddy proud. You know what? The devil is a liar. You do not have to be like your father. Well, you could, your mother might have been messed up. You don't have to be like your mother. Be like your heavenly father. Be like your heavenly father. Take your rightful place. You are royalty. You are a son. Mephibosheth was a son of the king. You are a son of the king. You are a daughter of the king. It's time to take your rightful place, which means that you have to demand that people treat you accordingly. See, you have to get to a place where you know you're better than that. You know you deserve better. You know, you deserve better than people to treat you like you're something that they scrape off the bottom of their shoe or like you belong under the bottom of their feet. You don't allow yourself to be treated badly, amen, and don't treat yourself badly, Pastor. You talked to Pastor Anthony, and we got to take some calls. We're already in the 2 o'clock hour. You talked about Pastor Anthony. You talked about the drugs and the alcohol. And last week I gave my testimony. And, you know, everybody that knows us knows that our lives are open book. We always give our testimony here because we want you to know that God can take two messed up people from the city of Newark, New Jersey, two little black folk, a little black girl and a little black boy. And he can take us, he took us from the streets of the city of Newark, New Jersey, out of households that were filled with dysfunction, with some things that happened in those households that our little young eyes and our little young minds could not even begin to process, where we were led on the path of drinking and doing drugs and laying up with the wrong people, where we were led on the path of partying and hanging out and conniving and scheming and taking advantage of folk, where we were on the path of using and abusing people ourselves and mistreating folk, lying and cheating. We did it all. And God took us and put us in the same bar one night over in the Vanity Club in Newark, where we were looking for some more liquor, where we were looking for love in all the wrong places. And God took us, and we weren't even looking for love. We were just looking maybe just to get busy. Come on. And God took us and saved us, picked us up, saved us for real, y'all. I'm talking about for real. Cleaned us, scrubbed us with the scrub brush of the word of God. Said we both had anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. We both hated our daddies. We both were kind of mad at our mothers, even though we loved them and we loved them dearly. We both had anger issues, didn't know how to trust nobody. We both had shame and guilt following us around, not goodness and mercy, but shame and guilt. And God took us and cleaned us up and scrubbed us clean, washed us clean with his word, filled us with the Holy Ghost, put our feet on solid ground, turned us all the way around so there's no turning back. And now we're preaching his gospel. Glory, hallelujah. Now we're out here on the internet, radio, phone waves, talking to you about the possibility and the power, about the ability of our God, that he is able to save to the utmost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Come on, somebody. God is able. And he is no respecter of persons. What he did for me and Pastor Anthony, he can do for you. Listen, Oh, God is able. He's just so good and he's so able. So, no, you know our testimony. We're just telling you that God is able to take that hard heart that's filled with unforgiveness, because we're talking about the power of forgiveness today. And we talked about it starts with forgiving yourself so that you can move forward to have the best life possible, so that you can look at yourself as more than a dead dog, so that you can look at yourself as more than a no good nobody. So that you can look at yourself like David did and say, I praise thee, O Lord, for the work of your hands. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that I know full well. My God. So that we can know, you can know somebody. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, you're so on to something, because I felt in the spirit out there, as you said, God's no respecter of person. So somebody saying, that's you, Pastor Rebecca, that's you, Pastor Anthony. But you don't know my story, you know. And when I think of that, I think of Judges in the 6th chapter, where the first thing God, when he called Gideon to deliver the children of Israel, he called him a mighty man of valor.
Wow.
And Gideon's response was that my clan is the least, and I'm the least in my clan. So God speaks to our spirit. And he defines who we are, not our circumstances, not our past, not what other people think or say about us. But
Jesus.
Once God speaks to you, and once God says you're marvelous and fearfully and wonderfully made, you got to take that thing to heart.
Ooh.
You know, when he went to the house of Jesse, and David was overlooked, glory be to God, and David was out with the sheep, David wasn't even considered to be king. David wasn't even, he was an afterthought. But God always had David in mind. God is talking to somebody today. Come on, Paula. Paul, call us. Call us and let your thoughts be heard, because God is speaking. God is speaking. You've been overlooked. You're not even a second thought in people's conversation. They've overlooked you. They've counted you out. You don't even matter in most circles, and God is saying, I put this man and this woman to be in your ear gate today to say you are important, you are valuable to me, you matter, glory be to God. So God, if God is speaking to you, say, I know that the Lord is speaking to me. I keep backing up, I keep procrastinating, I keep feeling like a failure, but today, it's going to be the first day of the rest of my life. Glory be to God.
Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. We got to take a praise break right there. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Let's just give God some applause. Let's give Jesus some applause. My God. Wow, Pastor Emily, that is powerful. The callers are calling in. I just want to give a praise report just before we take this call. I was a wretch, y'all. Just really didn't feel like good about myself. And as you were talking, Pastor Emily, I just looked at myself and I said, you know what? I looked down at myself and I said, you know what? I look good. You know, I look good. I'm praising God today because I am wonderfully and fearfully made, and that I know full well. I have just recently got to the point where I'm down. I have shed 37 pounds. 37 pounds of excess weight off of my body. I'm shedding the weight as I go. I'm shedding the weight of all of the issues of my past. I'm shedding the weight of guilt and shame. I'm shedding the weight of low self-esteem. I'm shedding the weight of not being able to handle attention from people that I don't want attention from. Come on. Oh, my God. I tell you, God is just so good. Without dieting, without a diet, I have shed 37 pounds in the last 6 months, and I just thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a time when I held on to the weight, just like we hold on to the weight of unforgiveness. And I finally got to a point last year in June where I said, you know what? I'm letting all of this mess go. I'm not going to keep pounds on my body because of old issues and insecurities. I want to be free for real. I want to glorify God in my entire life, including my body. So I'm just praising God today, amen, because I am truly fearfully and wonderfully made, and that I know full well, amen. And we'll have another show where I'm going to share with you some tips and secrets, amen, to shedding physical weight. But today we're talking about shedding the spiritual weight of unforgiveness, which comes with, is always accompanied by guilt, shame, low self-esteem, inconsistency in your relationships, bad relationships, looking for love in all the wrong places, all kinds of stuff bottled up inside of you. So we want to shed some weight today, starting with unforgiveness. We're going to take a call. Pastor Amber, you ready?
Yes, yes. Let's let their voice be heard. Amen.
All right, but first you have to agree that I look good before we take one
call.
Oh
yes, oh, I got the most beautiful girl in the world. Glory be to God. I am a blessed man. My wife is absolutely gorgeous. Looked like the day I proposed to her. Glory be to God. We were walking on the beach in Jamaica, Sandals Resort, our feet in the sand, and you look the same way. Hallelujah. After 16 years of marriage, you look better today than you looked before. Glory be to God.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you, baby. And you know, Pastor Emily loved me when I had the pounds on, too. That's unconditional love, y'all. Well, he never talked about my weight because I look good then, too. But, you know, you got to know who you are, be confident where you are with what you have right now. That's a big part of being free. So we're going to take a call. Thank you, baby. I love you. Amen. Area code 754. You're on the air. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today.
God bless you. God bless you, and congratulations on the shedding of the excess weight. I've seen you in person, and there was really nothing too much wrong with you. So, Pastor Anthony, my father used to say, "It's a poor frog that don't praise his own pond." And you are a beautiful young lady, and I praise God for you. I praise God for you. If what God said about us wasn't true, then the devil wouldn't fight it so hard.
Wow.
Because it'll be a waste of time. It'll be a waste of his time and effort to fight against something that he knows is not going to happen. But he knows what God said about us. And the bad thing about it is he knows better than we know what God said about us. And if he could stop us from becoming who God said we are to be, then he has taken and done something with us. But the reason why he's fighting it so hard is because he knows that we are more than conquerors. And all things work together for, and what God will, God says you're royal priesthood. Royal, I heard you talking about the royalty, that we are royal priests in God. And what God said about us, that ministry and that word and that anointing and gifts that he's given us, he knows it will change lives. It will bring, we are going into the enemy's camp and rescuing those that are lost to the enemy. And he doesn't want that to happen. That's why he's fighting against it so hard. So my brothers and my sisters, continue in the scripture says these light afflictions are not going to be compared to the future weight of glory. what God has for us in the future. What you're going through is not to be compared. It's not to be compared. Then another scripture says, and I'm going to stop this. Another scripture says, and I was telling my wife the other night, what the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, it says, when the woman goes into labor and the pain that she endures, how soon is forgotten when she holds that baby in her hand. All of that is going away. All of those.
That's right. You know,
all
that's
of
right.
That. All
yes. Wow. 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 How soon the pain is forgotten. You know, you hit something right there. You just hit something right there because for so some of us, some people feel like they can't get out from under the emotions that are attached to what has happened in their lives to them. And they're looking at it like it's their whole world. But like you just said, the scripture says it's a light affliction compared to the future glory. So,
really?
And then you talked about that baby being born. When we really, really walk into the manifestation of what it is that God set aside for us, of the reason that the devil, like you said, is coming against us so hard, then the glory will be so great, the blessing will be so great, that and the joy will be so great that we won't even remember the sting of the pain. We remember it hurt. Like, I gave birth to some babies, too, and I remember that it hurt, but I don't remember the sting of the pain. I don't remember. I can't remember how it hurt. I just remember that it did hurt. And that's the thing, same thing with the things that God has delivered me from in the spiritual realm. The soul goes to natural, so also goes to spiritual, that I remember that that's the stuff that happened to me a long time ago. It hurt. But since God has forgiven me, I don't remember, I don't know the pain. I don't remember the pain affiliated with the pain. Wow, if that makes any sense. Wow. Wow. Come on, guys.
I want to say something because Apostle said something so powerfully, because he put the devil into the equation, and I told our church Apostle the other day, we have this saying that the devil is busy, and I told the people of God that God is busier, that every trap he set, God has a counter attack against everything the enemy tries to put in our path. But Pastor and Apostle, one of the things that I got as Apostle was speaking is that somebody have tried to change. So somebody have really put forth great effort to make their lives better. And the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. You know, Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote it so wonderfully. He said in that 11th chapter, continue to sow. When you wake up in the morning, sow. When you throughout the day, sow and plant and seed. Because you don't know what's going to grow, and you don't know when it's going to grow. But you know it is going to give you a harvest. And that's a word for somebody today. You tuned in today simply not to give up. Because somebody's saying, I haven't seen change. I've been praying for this marriage. I don't see no change. I've been praying for Mr. Wright to come into my life. He hasn't walked in the door yet. I've been trying to get rid of this bad habit, these habitual things that keep holding me down, and I keep going back to my former ways. But I'm here to encourage you today. Glory be to God. He who has begun a good work in you.
That's it.
He shall complete it. Glory be to God. So we're gonna encourage you today to continue to work out your soul salvation with fear and with trembling, because God is not done with you yet. Glory be to God.
That's it. The devil does not desire He's not trying to kill you. He's really not trying to destroy you. All he wants you to do is give up.
Wow.
That's all he wants. He really wants you to give up. Throw in the towel. I'm not going to do this no more. Forget it. I'm walking away. That's what he wants you to do. Because he knows if you keep on, and if you keep persevering, and if you keep fighting, like Pastor Anthony said, the counter, using your counter attacks, if you are going to get the victory. You're going to get the victory. And watch what the warfare does for you. It builds you. It makes you stronger. It's growing you. It's teaching you. It's giving you. God is showing you, watch this, your weapons and how to use your weapons.
Wow.
When you go into the army or to the military, they're going to put a gun in your hand. They're not going to put a rocket launcher in your hand and say, go shoot something. No, they're going to show you how this instrument works so that you can effectively use it to your advantage.
Mm.
That's what God is teaching us, how to use our weapons so that when the enemy does come in, when he does, you know what to pull out. You know what scripture to use. You know what tactic to use. It's shouting and dancing is good in this place. But sometimes your warfare is not shouting and dancing. Your warfare might be getting on your face before the Lord and praying. Your warfare might be your worship. Your warfare might just be you just walking in the spirit. That might be what you, but if you don't know what to use, then the devil sit there and say, now look at it. She don't know what to use. Here you are in battle, and you don't know your weapons.
Oh.
You don't know your weapons. David knew his weapon because of the experience he had with that slingshot. He knew how to use that slingshot. Better than all his brothers with their spears and whatever they were using, swords and what have you. David knew his weapon because he was, that's why when Saul said, give him my armor, David said, I've never used this before. I'm not used to this. Give me what I'm used to.
Wow, he was skilled with that weapon because that's what he was used to. You said something so powerful. You said that the devil wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. And that's why even on this topic of forgiveness today, yes, apostles, and even on this topic of forgiveness today, I love the fact that Apostle Amica and Pastor Anthony came from the perspective of the warfare that's really happening in your life, the hell that you're going through. Jesus talked about the gates of hell not being able to prevail against the church. And that's why we're here talking about forgiveness, to identify the fact that there is a need for it on a regular basis, because warfare, the devil coming against God's plan for your life, is perpetual. This is something that does not stop. When you come out of one battle, get ready, because the devil's looking for an opportune time to come back and find another way to attack you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he will use people. He will use people for that. That's why Apostle said he wants to stop you and make you quit, make you give up on your purpose, make you turn your back on God. And as you were speaking, Apostle Amica, God showed me that if the devil can't stop them from moving forward, he will put them in a powerless state, because he will block up that anointing. He will block you, the person's anointing. The devil will block your anointing by putting hardness in your heart. You cannot operate in your full power of the anointing that's been given you by God, the oil, you cannot flow if it's blocked up by a hard heart. The oil can only flow through the heart of flesh. So that's why God tells us to guard our heart, because out of the heart come all of the issues of life. So all the issues of the flesh, but we need to be dealing in the spirit realm in order to defeat the devil and deal with him and come against the tactics of the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's the spirit of the Lord that raises up a standard against him. So what we're talking about is the necessity to forgive. We're talking about the power of forgiving, because when you forgive, Evangelist Cynthia Anderson put this in the chat room. She says, forgiveness is not just for the other person or situation, but it is for you. For you, forgiveness will stop you from operating in your power. It will stop you. It will defeat you. You will be defeated because of something that's happening on the inside of you. Because a seed that was planted by the devil, it could be the spirit of offense, which is running rampant in our churches and running rampant in the church, the people of God. It could be a spirit of somebody righteous indignation. Somebody really did do something to you, and you deserve to be angry at them. It could be past hurt, but whatever it is, your power is only going to be realized as you let it go, as you forgive. Even if it's your somebody in your family that hurt you, your spouse, your children, you have to let it go. You have to forgive so that you can flow in the spirit of love, and that's where your real power is.
Unforgiveness is a weapon of the enemy. Forgiveness is a weapon of God.
Wow.
When you unforgive, the devil knows through unforgiveness you are blocking and locking up certain other elements that's supposed to be exposed to you freely that you can use. So there's so many counterparts in unforgiveness. I'm not going to unforgive. The Bible says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's simple. It's, if I don't forgive my brother, then God won't forgive me. You stand in judgment and you say, Lord, please forgive me. You say, I can't. Because you close my hands to forgive you because you would not forgive your brother. For unforgiveness causes cancer. It has physical disabilities on our body because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a disease.
Yes, wow.
It has elements against your body that shouldn't be there. Because you would not forgive a person.
Mm.
You don't know what they did to me. It don't matter what they did. Jesus said, watch this. Stephen being stoned by the people. And he said, Lord, don't hold us to their charge. Jesus said, while being crucified on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could not hold for unforgiveness. Even on he's dying. I can't die and have unforgiveness in my heart. They're not I die in unforgiveness.
Yeah.
They're not you die in unforgiveness, because that's a dangerous, dangerous place. And the devil, you keep playing it in your mind. But you don't know what they did. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad they hurt me. Yeah, I don't. But you still can forgive. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Find it in your heart to forgive them, because it's imperative to the rest of your life.
Wow. That's
you gotta
powerful.
Do it.
That's powerful.
Gotta do it.
Pastor Emily, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, you know, when you guys, to God be the glory, I pray that somebody else call in to really in this last half hour. But we just heard that sickness can come from unforgiveness. Pastor, you talked about that spirit of offense. And God knows, even with these recent cases of these mass shootings, we see the spirit of anger at work. And as you're talking about the topic of unforgiveness today, we recognize that it's a spiritual, supernatural event. There's some things that God can only do. God will grace you. God will give you room. God will give you the ability to soften your heart and say, you know what? They're not worth my future. They're not worth my destiny. And many people, Pastor, can you imagine how many marriages would have been reconciled? How many marriages would have survived divorce? Well, we have over 50% of them ending in divorce. And you know, in marriage, sometimes you disagree a lot with your spouse. And sometimes because of the spirit of unforgiveness, they ended up in divorce court. How many men and women are behind bars because the spirit of unforgiveness just literally mastered their lives? And then we have our young people. You can see they can't complete high school. They're not laughing. They're not enjoying life. They're not adventurous. Their innovation and their creativity is stuck. You know, they're supposed to write books and make CDs. But because of unforgiveness, they can't dream. They can't explore. They can't open up their horizons. And that's why it's so powerful that you're talking about that's where it starts. That's really where it starts, because God, David said, created me a clean heart, because if you don't, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
See, he asked God to create in me a clean heart. Because God, if you don't, I'm stuck in my sin. I'm stuck in my ugly ways. I'm just no good to myself or nobody else. So forgiveness that we're talking about today, that's why the power of prayer, I just preached this on Sunday, Apostle, the power of prayer is so powerful, because we need to continue to go to a God that can help us to forgive people.
Yeah, and we want to open up the phone lines, 646-652-4832 in this last half an hour, 25 minutes. We go up the air at exactly 3 o'clock now, because Block Talk Radio cuts us off at 3 exactly, and I do not want to appear unprofessional. We have thousands of people listening to our archives, and we want to always represent God with a spirit of excellence. So we will be going off. We'll be stopping calls at about 2:55, so we have about 20 more minutes on the air before we go off the air. So if you want to let your voice be heard, you could just press 1 or call 646-652-4832. And I want to, before we go off the air, talk about how to forgive. Pastor Emily pretty much gave us some guidelines there through prayer. He gave you the example of David, how David prayed and asked God to create in him a clean heart. God tells us in the book of Ezekiel, I just preached that on Wednesday here on Block Talk Radio. You can go back and listen to the archives. But in Ezekiel, he said he would give us a new heart. He said, I will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So God wants to give you a supernatural heart transplant, and you have to receive it. You know, it's not that God's not doing it, but it's that we reject what God is doing in our lives, and we go and get old stuff and put it into the new heart that God has given us. And God says, no, I gave you a new heart. I took away the heart of stone. So you have to receive it and give God, allow God to have all of that old stuff by faith. God, this stuff, this old stuff cannot occupy my new heart. So I give it to you by faith. You told me to bring my burdens to you, to cast my cares on you. So I give it to you by faith and believe God that he takes it, that he does take it when we give it to him. He will supernaturally, miraculously give you a prayer, clean heart with none of that old hate, bitterness, anger, shame, guilt, unforgiveness occupying your heart. And then continue to walk in love. Forgive everybody. Forgive immediately. If somebody offends you, don't walk around in the spirit of offense. Hear me. If someone offends you, charge it to their head and not to their heart. Listen, people make mistakes. So go ahead and forgive them immediately. Just say, I forgive. I choose to forgive. And that's the another thing. Choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. I choose to forgive out of what? Obedience to God. God commanded us to forgive. So you have to choose to obey God and forgive everybody who hurts you. Everyone who has hurt you in the past, present, or who will hurt you in the future. Finally, before I give it back over to our guest, Apostle Amica, and our pastor, Anthony, finally, listen, forgiving a person is not equal to stupidity. Forgiving a person does not mean you have to be crazy or stupid and allow yourself to be abused, misused, mistreated, lied on, cheated on, or even put in a dangerous position. Amen. It does not mean that you allow yourself to stay in relationship with someone. I want to say this, and I want you to hear me. Forgiving someone does not mean you allow yourself to stay in relationship with that person if they are hurting you, if they are unrepentant, if they refuse to change. Just because you forgive a person does not mean that you should be or have to be in relationship with that person. And, you know, some people might say, well, I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to love her, and I'm supposed to forgive her, and I know she's not treating me right, so I should be in relationship with her, right? No, wrong. Wrong. You have a right to choose and pick and choose who you're going to be in relationship with. That's your right. And if somebody hurts you continually and they refuse to stop it, look, make the choice not to be in relationship with them until they shape up and change and prove to you that they're going to change. So, no, forgiveness does not mean that you choose to be somebody's doormat. It just means that you release them. You say, you know what, I'm not going to stay mad at you. I forgive you. And you release yourself. I'm not going to let my heart get hard. I'm freeing myself. I'm not going to hold myself hostage because I'm angry at you. I'm going to release my anger at you. I give it away. I give it to God. Let God deal with you. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not mine. And then you can walk free, and they have to deal with God. Amen. So I wanted to just put that out there at the end of this broadcast. We only have about 10 more minutes, but I want to about 15 more minutes, but I want to put that out there. Those are ways that you forgive, and then the forgiveness does not mean that you have to be in a relationship with someone, whether it's a friend or somebody that you really love. You know, love is not abusive. It's not. Read Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13. It will tell you about what love really looks like. Amen. And if anybody in your life is not lining up with how they're supposed to love you, forgive them, but then begin to make some decisions on whether or not you want to have that person in your life. Amen. And then for married people, it's a little bit more technical because you are obligated to go to counseling, try to find ways to salvage that marriage. If the person is abusive and you forgive them, forgive them. But if they're hitting you or hurting you, get yourself to a safe place. Get to a safe place until they get some help. Amen. And that will help to encourage them. Look, I need to do something. I need to get myself together. Sometimes you have to take drastic measures in order for that person who's abusing you to really start to make some positive change. Amen. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Apostle Amaker and Pastor Anthony.
Pastor, that's so powerful. You know, we keep hearing that hurt people hurt people. And as you said, marriage, people of God, we're working on our marriage book now. It's going to be out this spring. God is going to do something awesome. This is a marriage book that's going to radically, glory be to God, change marriages and enrich and strengthen marriages, and we're just excited about it. And I'm so glad you put that stipulation there, Pastor, that in marriage, the Bible says submitting one to another, there's a whole other set of rules, dwelling with your wife with full understanding. So we're not telling anybody, marriage is continuously forgiving one another. You know, sometimes us husbands, we put our foot in our mouths, and sometimes wives, we talk too much. But it's one of the things where we're talking about sometimes that friend that continually take your kindness for weakness. You know, so sometimes you have a falling out, but there are some people in our lives, Pastor, they just look at us like we stupid. Like, you know, they treat us like we don't have common sense. And we're talking about that person, forgive them and move away from them. Because you don't have to be around people that just tolerate you. Get with some people that's going to celebrate you, some people that's going to appreciate you, some real godly friends God has ordained to be in your life. Once you forgive, that's so powerful, you said it. You do not have to stay in relationship with folks. You don't have to be super spiritual and super religious trying to prove anything to anybody. God says forgive, let go and let God, but he also says walk in wisdom.
Yeah.
And Pastor, that's just so powerful that you said that, because people get it twisted, and that's why we got to make it clear. Well, what you say is to be in relationship with them. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying to forgive them. Hallelujah.
Love them, like Jesus did. Love them and let them go. You know, Jesus gave a man, the rich young ruler, a stipulation as to what he needed to do to be in relationship with him. And he said, no, I can't do that, and walked away from Jesus. And Jesus did not go running after him, begging him to stay. He loved him. And he let him go. We have a caller, area code 908. Your hand is raised. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today.
God bless you, Pastor Simmons and Mr. Simmons. I just wanted to say, because I just caught 10 minutes of this subject, and I just want to say, first of all, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We got to be careful in terms of forgiving people. I had to learn to forgive and accept forgiveness from my wife, because let me tell you, my marriage up before this point was on the rocks. I was almost on the verge of losing my wife, and so I had to get my act together because I was verbally abusing her. And we're not just talking about physical abuse, because I never put my hands on her, but verbal abuse is also worse as well. So I got to be very honest, and I think we have to be careful in terms of, as Christians, if we forgive people, we got to be careful that we don't reintroduce the same thing over to them, or, in fact, reoccurrence, or, matter of fact, you know, bring up the past, because that's not forgiving them. If you say you forgive them, you forgive. And I also wanted to ask y'all to keep Daniela, Sister Daniela, in prayer, because she's dealing with a serious toothache.
Okay, amen. Yes, we definitely will keep her in prayer, and it's that's the worst kind of pain, that toothache. And
Pastor, that's powerful that he said sometimes in marriages that the past keep re-arising and keep resurrecting itself.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think about. Yes, thank you, Pastor Anthony.
Thank you, Pastor.
I want you to elaborate on that. Why does things keep coming up? Can you talk about that?
Because you haven't really let them go. You know, we have a habit from the world where we'll say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. And I think Apostle Amica talks about this so well. Apostle, what you taught on this one time when you called in and you talked about the fact that sometimes people forgive, but they don't forget.
Yes. And by not forgetting tells me you didn't forgive.
Yeah.
By not forgetting tells me that you didn't forgive. Because if you always hold it up in front of me, every time, like your brother said, it reoccurs, and you witness, see, you did that before. You did that before. Jesus said, if a man trespass against you, in other words, offends you or do something, seven times 70. That's 490 times a day. Forgive him. Now, like Dr. Rebecca just said, that don't mean, now, if you keep punching me in my mouth and I say I forgive you, common sense should tell me move out the way. Get away from you forgiveness is a strength, not a weakness. Pastor Anthony was saying about submission. Submission, these two things are strengths. They've been played as weaknesses, but according to God, they're strengths. If you can forgive a person after they have wronged you or did anything in wrong to you, and you forgive and walk away and don't hold no grudge, don't keep bringing it up every time you see it. Every time you see that person, that anger rises up in you, then you haven't forgiven them. Technically, you haven't forgiven them. But in your heart, in your mouth, you say, I forgive you, but your heart is still holding that.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca said earlier, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. You got to forgive that person in your heart. And that heart helps you to forget. So when I see that person who did me wrong, I'm not sitting there and letting it play back in my mind. Oh, you remember what they did? And you remember how wrong they was in you? Yeah. You haven't forgiven. Totally forgiven. Total forgiveness is forgiving. And letting it go.
Yeah, and in marriage, you talked about brother. That's powerful, Apostle Amica, because I know you could say it better than I could at this time, because I've heard you say that, and it always comes across so powerfully. If you haven't forgotten, chances are he said if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. And that's so important for you, Brother Mel. I'm going to give you a little bit of counseling right now. Sometimes husbands hurt wives so badly, or wives hurt husbands. Sometimes we hurt our spouses so badly, and it comes unexpectedly because we don't expect our spouse to hurt us in that way. So when it happens, it really goes deep. You know, the people that can hurt you the most are the people that are closest to you. And that's because you let them in. We let you in. We let our husbands into a place that not many people can come. And as husbands, you let your wives into a sacred place. Mm-hmm. We're in my space. You know me. You breathe me. You know so much about me. You know my secrets, my weaknesses, you know, my share. Mm-hmm. Confidence is with you, and now you have taken the very thing that I've shared with you and used it against me. You have hurt me. You know what will hurt me, and you went for the jugular. And so that's why it's sometimes so hard for married people, for spouses, to forgive each other, because it's a gross violation of trust. when we hurt each other like that. So it's not just a matter of forgiving. Now it's a matter of regaining trust. So it's not the fact that she doesn't forgive you, but she now does not trust you. So when she comes across to throw something back in your face like, yeah, you did this before, here you go again, you said you were sorry. I knew I shouldn't have trusted. What she's really saying is, I knew I shouldn't have trusted you. I knew I shouldn't have trusted you because you coming back and you're doing the same thing over again. I don't trust you. So you have to be patient with your wife now and trust her. It's just like if you had cheated on her and she took you back and she said, you know what, I'm going to give you another chance. You can't get mad at her if she says, you know what, you did cheat on me because you violated your trust, that sacred trust. You have to be patient with her while she goes through her healing process.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, and I just wanted to say that I'm a whole lot better than I was last year, and I don't want to continue on last year. I've got great, as I told Pastor Simmons, that my whole attitude, outlook, and the way that I used to was, I don't do that no more. I try to, you know, diffuse it and try to find a way to talk or either, you know, diffuse the situation. I don't no longer do that. Like, my whole outlook and the way that I speak is a whole lot different than it was last year. So I don't approach her on that. I don't approach my wife, so to speak, on that. And I don't try to look for arguments.
Amen. Praise
my whole attitude God.
Hallelujah.
Thanks,
God. That's a crazy point. You keep doing what you're doing because as you change, she will change. As you change your behavior towards her, her behavior towards you will change. You can't. So right now it's just about the male changing, being the best man of God that he can be and the best husband he can be. And watch your wife now begin to respond in a positive manner towards the new you. So God be the glory. Amen. Well, God bless
you. No question.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Hallelujah. Always a pleasure to be on this talk format. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, you keep calling and talking to us. We love having you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless y'all too. And
Amen.
Also for wisdom.
Amen. Wow. We only have a few more minutes left. I'm going to let you to Apostle, if you would just sum it up for us, or if you had any remarks as to what response to the last call and or my remarks, and then Pastor Amity will follow you, and then we'll be going off the air for the day.
Just like you just told a brother, it's going to take time for him. We have to understand it's going to take time for the other person too. Because like you said, you wounded me in a place that I never seen it coming, especially from you. And that's going to take time. You got to let me heal. We have to let our spouse heal. Give them that space to heal. And once they've healed, then they can say, now I can totally forgive you and forget. And we can just keep on, go ahead on. And I just want to encourage the brother and all of us that's listening. Take that space to heal. Take time and heal. Let the Lord heal you. And once you be healed, then you'll be a better person. You'll be a better person. God bless. Thank you.
Amen, sir. Amen, sir. Always an honor to have you with us. Always an honor to have you with us, Apostle Amica. We thank you so much for coming and, you know, just spending time with us here on Blog Talk Radio and sharing your wisdom with us. God bless you, sir. Amen. Pastor Anthony.
Yeah, I'm so glad of this topic, forgiveness. Trust does take time, and to regain that trust is going to take some time to heal those wounds. But that trust, Pastor, can be regained. My final remarks, I just want to invite people out to the worship service this weekend. It's a powerful weekend. We have Dr. King Holiday Weekend, Pastor, and I heard on Monday during the inauguration of our 45th president that he's actually going to swear on two Bibles, one that was used by Abraham Lincoln, and the other was a Bible used by Dr. Martin Luther King. So on this historic weekend, Come out and worship with us. It's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. If you're local, we're going to have a great time in the Lord on tomorrow morning. So, Pastor, I thank you for this topic on today. And I thank God for the people that this ministered to them, the power of forgiveness.
Amen. God bless you. So that's it. We want to encourage you to forgive somebody today. Go back and listen to the archives if you missed anything. Send us your comments on Facebook. Like our Facebook page, Woman to Man, Facebook.com/Woman to Man. Like our page. We're going over the top this year. Amen. So we just pray God's blessings on you, and that you will forgive and walk in the wisdom that you heard here on today. To God be the glory. Listen, I'm remembering my sister Janice on today. I'm going to play some Helen Beller, "The Best Is Yet to Come." God bless you. Know that we love you. Go in peace and serve the Lord, and be blessed by this song in memory of my sister Janice. Amen. The best is yet to come.
I'm the best.